Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by M&S Italian Food Specialists, the official caterers for the crew of Lydia's Family Table, which can be seen on PBS. M&S is located at 34-23 Francis Lewis Boulevard in Bayside, Queens. There, you'll find over 100 different types of cheeses, store-made sausages, fresh meats, as well as great salads and sandwiches. Choose fully cooked items from the deli area, or just tell Joe what you're interested in preparing. M&S carries a full line of imported groceries for all your cooking needs. Call them at 718-353-8318. A family business for over 50 years.
A little fresh mozzarella would do well right now. And so I'm going to talk about a play that I saw last night. Goodness gracious. I do have a few minutes before our first caller calls in, so I just have to tell you, and I may get to continue with this later. It wasn't Broadway. This was off Broadway. Should have been, well, okay. this play is called The Time of Mendel's Trouble, and it's billed as a madcap musical of biblical proportions. And apparently, this guy who wrote this, all of this, the book is by Jeremiah and Wendy Ginsberg. Music and lyrics by Jeremiah Ginsberg. Directed by Jeremiah Ginsberg. Well, Jeremiah, you got work to do. First of all, I have to say, I went to see the show with my friend Mary Ellen Pierce, who has been directing community theater for, at least 10, 15 years already. And I really have to say that the caliber of this show wasn't even as good as community theater. Now, hers, at least. And with her community theater, none of the people that are in the show are even really actors. That's not their profession. If any of them have actually acted in a off-Broadway show, that's even barely anything. And they do a much better performance than what I saw last night. It was so awful. There was this soprano, this woman who sang soprano. It sounded like they kept goosing her all the time. I swear, it was like you hear, everybody is kind of in sync, and all of a sudden you hear this, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-h so that's it was just stuff like that. Well, I nodded off a couple of times. I just kept like looking at this, and I just absolutely didn't understand how it even how the show made it this far. But okay, so it looks like we get to talk about the bateau a few minutes early, which is fine with me. And does that mean I got Chef James on the air right now?
Yes, you do. How are you?
Hi, how are you? How are you doing? So the boat doesn't leave until 7:30?
7:30, yes. We board at 6:30 and 7:30.
Right, and that's why we got you early, just so they, you know, won't have a hissy fit not seeing you on there.
Exactly.
Yeah. So first, I want you to tell us. I have the menu here I was going to say last night, but
yes.
I have the menu, and I understand now because we're looking at a small galley. Am I correct? Is that?
Well, we actually have a large galley downstairs, and then we have a send-out galley, and it's quite advanced. It's actually one of the most advanced kitchens that I've actually worked in.
Oh, really? So
yes, because we have two cold rooms, and basically they're enclosed areas where we can prep a lot of different items, especially garmage, which is basically your salads, all your different types of carpaccio, different things of that nature. And the room stays at a temperature almost around 43 degrees, a little less than refrigeration. And so you're cool inside, and you're prepping food, and the food stays fresher. And we have one downstairs in the galley, then the upstairs send-out galley, we have another one.
And how is that different?
It doesn't really differ, except what happens is downstairs we actually prep a lot of the food, so it's much bigger, and then the upstairs is basically where we will bring all the food upstairs, and we will send it out once we're ready for service, which is around 7:30. Once people come in, and they board at 6:30. The boat actually leaves around 7:30 on time, and that's basically, you know, how the boat operates when it comes to sending out from that station.
Right. Okay, so let's talk. I want to kind of you've worked in a restaurant, a regular restaurant, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Okay. Is in New York or where?
Well, I've worked in New York. I worked in Chicago. I worked in New Jersey. And basically, if you're asking me what the difference is,
yeah.
One thing is that on a boat, there's no flames, so you have to use everything is electric.
Wow.
So that's I truly love fire. I love fire. It's challenging, but if you're at a certain level of thinking where you can basically change up a little bit techniques, you can still give all of your guests the same high quality cuisine than any other land-based restaurant.
You know, when you say like electric, for instance, what appliances or whatever, so to speak, appliances. Well, it's not like we're going to have it in our home. But
yes.
What do you get to play with that's electric?
Well, we have large, the ovens are actually different. I mean, the only difference is everything's really the same than any other restaurant where we might have a Wolf type of oven, but it's actually electric because we cannot have
right.
fire. That is actually the only difference. Now, as far as the operation itself, I mean, you know, Bateau is basically run by the ICU Partnership, which is an investment company. And so we have pretty good financing behind us. So we're able to have good equipment. And, you know, good equipment, you know, brings a better staff that you can we can afford, and that, you know, hopefully we put out a much better cuisine.
Do you have like an electric stovetop?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Electric right. stovetop. We have a salamander which is electric. If you were in a
I know a salamander is a little newt. How do you isn't that little thing that crawls?
Well, it's basically, it's similar to having like a open face oven where like a broiler. A lot of people might associate like a broiler and a conventional oven that you have at home, but basically it's, you know, over 700 degrees, and you put things under it. It melts. Different items very quickly. It can actually cook items very quickly, but ours is electric versus fire.
Right, and so
or gas.
Do you have things like a cooker pressure? A pressure cooker.
actually, we don't. We have large tilt skillets, which we use to basically sear off our filet mignons, and we use them to make our in-house creme brulees and different things of that nature. But we don't have, you know, actual pressure cooker. And to be honest, I don't normally like them because they can be dangerous if you have a new inexperienced cook. And you get next to that pressure and that steam, and they can actually get hurt.
Okay, so let's go through some of the menu. I understand that I'll go through some things, and I understand
sure.
that a lot of it is pre-prepared. You're getting it like frozen, I believe, but is that it?
Yeah, well, I can explain that. Well, first of all, when I was here maybe about 7 years ago, I used to be the executive sous chef, and me and Chef Noel, we actually prepared, I would have to say, at least 95% of all our cuisine in-house. We made our own veal stock, our own chicken stock. As time went on and I left, basically, because we service 1,600 people a week on the boat and above, there are certain items that we have to outsource, is what they call it,
right,
such as our chocolate torte, our souffle torte, which is the recipe from my food and beverage director's grandmother. And we have a company in Jersey and companies in New York to actually prepare the chocolate torte, but we put our own spin on it by putting dulce de leche ice cream, and then we make our own chocolate triangles that we put on top of it. So basically that's what I'm doing now. I'm putting my accent to the menu, but I'm starting to build a team where we can do more in-house preparation.
Well, let's look at this menu, for instance. Okay, so now let me see, a seafood bisque.
Yes.
What of it are you preparing?
Okay, the seafood bisque, again, because that's such a popular item, we outsource that, but we actually sear off scallops, bay scallops, and we add them to the soup. So that's basically, you know, it's made with cream and sherry. It's a delicious soup. But that, again, that's something that the following menu for 2009, I plan on having a soup of the day, so we can do different types of chowders. We can do a corn chowder, a carrot ginger, that on hot summers we can do a watermelon or a melon soup, because those are the things that I truly love.
So in other words, let's say the soup arrives and the soup is in some type of container and it's coming in frozen, and then you're now taking this and heating it up and adding the scallops to it. Is that
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So now the next thing is the herb chauve. How do you pronounce it? Parfait?
Parfait, yes. Sheriff is, sheriff meaning goat.
Okay. And it says it's eggplant, confit, aged balsamic reduction, basil-infused microgreens. Now, are you, in other words, and are you preparing the eggplant confit, or is that something like you're getting and then you're just, putting together, you're having somebody put together the rest of it?
Exactly. Well, again, what we have is we have an outsource of eggplant confit. We outsource that, and when it comes in frozen, we defrost it, and we make the our goat cheese, with different herbs, and then, of course, we make the balsamic reduction ourselves by taking balsamic vinegar and reducing it down with a little bit of sugar, and again, we have the microgreens that go on top,
right,
and a little extra virgin olive oil to bind the microgreens together.
Okay, so let's continue. Well, I would imagine the bateau and the pasta plateau is obvious with the fresh mozzarella.
Yes.
I mean, you're getting the ingredients. You're getting the fresh mozzarella.
Yes.
The prosciutto, prosciutto di Parma.
Yes.
You're getting the roasted and marinated vegetables.
Yes.
And the
olives.
Fava beans and the olives.
Yes.
You're getting them, and you're just putting it together.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Whereas now the next one is the Maryland lump crab cake, which I'm catching that comes frozen. Now, does the portion, is it portion frozen, or are you getting, let's say, the crab cake, let's say, that's all mixed and now you have to cook it?
Yes, it's a 3-ounce portion outsource. It comes in frozen. It's a great product. And then we make our citrus coleslaw. That's of course in-house made. And one thing I would like to say is that, you know, we had a big wedding on Saturday, and when I spoke to the groom, you know, he was very big into having Old Bay on his crab cakes, and I ran out and I got Old Bay, and before we actually service, it was like 160 something guests. I made sure that Old Bay was sprinkled on all of the crab cakes. So so that's a part of the accent that we can also give to the guests.
Okay, so now the next thing, the Bateau New York salad is obvious, you know, baby organic greens with lemon vinaigrette that you're making your own lemon vinaigrette and putting over. I love the salad, by the way.
Well, did you love the salad?
I like the lemon vinaigrette was very good.
Good. I'm glad you enjoy it.
And now, so let's go in terms of on the entrees. Now, okay, the miso glazed wild Alaskan salmon.
Yes.
And I would imagine you're getting salmon port, frozen salmon fillets.
Yes.
Now, it says with fresh soybeans, coconut rice, and baby bok choy. Of that, what are you doing or what's being sourced?
Everything. We make everything ourselves, even the salmon sides. They come in and we portion them ourselves at 8 ounces. The rice is actually a basmati rice that has what I call an Asian trinity, which is made of garlic, ginger, and lemongrass. And we take that with sesame oil and we actually saute the rice. We add coconut milk to it, and that's it. And then we have the miso glaze, which is another product that we make in-house. It's, you know, its effect is supposed to be a sweet, sour, and spicy sauce.
Okay. Now, then we have the free-range Tuscan chicken breast.
Yes.
Herb-rubbed chicken breast with Tuscan white bean ragu, pancetta, green beans, and finished with Asiago cheese.
Yes.
Okay, and I'm guessing that the chicken breast, that they're already portioned out.
Yes.
Froze. You're getting that frozen, and then you're doing the rest yourself?
Yes, exactly. When I came back 3 months ago, again, even the ragu was outsourced, but there are certain things that are very expensive, and one thing as a chef you want to focus on is you want to focus on your food costs, and so we make our own ragu, which is a much better product, and you know, adding roasted cauliflower, which is nice and sweet, which is actually beautiful. So, again, the chicken is outsourced, but the ragu we make. And eventually, like I said, many of our products are going to be in-house made for the next menu.
Okay. Now, the next one is the filet mignon. I'm sure you can't get that.
So
you're getting the filet mignon that's probably portioned already.
Yes, yes.
And you're making your own hand mashed potatoes?
Yes.
Or are you getting that?
No, we're making our own hat.
Okay.
Hand mashed potatoes.
And the vegetables and the blue cheese and the roasted shallots, demi glace.
Yeah,
that's
Demi
all yours.
Glaze. Yep. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Now the next one. That's the my friend and I had to go for this. I mean, we both wanted the rosemary and mint glazed lamb shank with creamy polenta and fresh fava beans. Now I have to tell everybody, and I the only reason I even thought that things were outsourced is because I looked on her plate and I noticed that we had both the exact same size, shape, and everything of the lamb shank, and it was, first of all, it was absolutely fabulous. It was just done so perfectly, and it didn't have any like lamb taste. You know what I mean? It wasn't gamey or anything.
Yes, yes.
It was cooked very well. And I enjoyed the creamy polenta, and which I guess did you make the polenta?
Of course, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, and then the last thing on the entrees was the Mediterranean vegetable.
But you know something, I would like to say something about even the size. Even if you are any good expediter or chef that's expediting food out, will always try to match up portion size. Like, you know, if you have a filet mignon, say that's, you know, 8 ounces, you definitely don't want to send to the table two people having filet mignon and one is 7 ounces, the other one is 8 ounces.
Right.
You want to try to, so even if it wasn't outsourced, we try very hard to make sure that each plate is very comparable to the next that goes to the table.
I can imagine. I watch Hell's Kitchen, and I and it's like every time I did, you know, all the things go through my mind. And as you were saying that, I'm hearing Ramsay screaming at somebody because it's not exactly the amount of ounces, or you know, something like that. So, yes, actually, that's what goes on. I keep like every time with food now, you know, I picture Ramsay screaming
it gets hectic. We have a very short time to feed a massive amount of people, and you have to be detailed to it, and you have to be quick.
Now, as far as I would imagine, are any of the desserts, I mean, other than with
the
warm Valrhona chocolate torte, I mean, are any of them that you make on that you create, or they're all outsourced?
Again, all of those are outsourced.
Okay, which is, I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm just curious. I mean, I'm going to want to find out who you're buying from, because it's where I want to do my grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I have to tell, I mean, I had the warm Valrhona chocolate torte, and I absolutely loved it, but then I tasted the pear and almond torte, and I said, oh, I should have got that.
Because
I like almond paste.
Yes, yes.
So it really, it gave that wonderful almond paste, and then with the pear to add to it, it was just wonderful. And now let's say, like, for instance, like when there's whipped cream, are you putting your own whipped cream, or is it...
We make a spice cream, which is basically cinnamon and nutmeg.
Okay. Now, I'm very curious to ask you, New York style cheesecake. Are you getting it from outsourced from a particular company?
Yes, we are.
Because there's such a cheesecake war,
do
you know, like, which one you get?
I do, but I'm really, that's one thing that we, you know, because we go through a particular company, and then they go and they get different companies to bring in these items for us. So we're dealing with... many different companies for some of the same products sometimes.
Okay. Now, the reason I asked, I mean, I happen to, I'm a cheesecake lover.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened, and hopefully I'll have the guy on the air. There's this little cheesecake place That's in College Point, Queens.
Okay.
For my cheesecake.
Okay.
So far, nobody has topped their cheesecake.
Oh, no? Not even Juniors or... No?
Juniors, I have at some point I'll tell them, I have a whole story about Juniors in regards to that they had sent me a brochure. And on the back of the brochure, it actually said, if this isn't the best cheesecake you ever sank your teeth into, we'll refund your money, no questions asked. Mm-hmm. And I had to challenge them because I couldn't imagine that they were better than La Cheesecake. And I really wanted to know. So I bought a couple of cheesecakes, and they were okay. That's what I thought, okay. And then I call them up, and first they ask, what's the matter? And my brain goes, you just asked a question.
Uh-huh.
But now the thing is that the owner of Junior's called me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what's the matter with the cheesecake? And I'm saying to myself, why are you asking if it's no questions asked? And finally I had said to him, well, maybe it's the best cheesecake that you've ever sank your teeth into. But
exactly.
If you want to know which one I like, I said, then go to La Cheesecake in College Point to find out. And by the way, as it turned out, the only reason I got my money back was because I paid through credit card and I was able to produce the guarantee. But so that's why I was just kind of asking about because there's cheesecake wars, Lindy's and that kind of thing. But anyway, so now at what point do you have to be on the ship to start prepping?
Well, normally...
And they're probably screaming at you now. Where is he?
Well, yeah, I have to go, very shortly to make sure that everything is in order. Normally, anywhere between 3 hours before. So, now sometimes people are coming at 3:30.
Okay.
And depending on the size of the cruise, tonight is only 100. We have 100 guests, but sometimes things can go wrong if you're not prepared.
Sure.
Things can go wrong, so that's why I have to get ready to go down because we're actually starting to board right now.
Okay, and I just have one last question because
sure.
With the menu that I have in front of me. You're saying that it will change at some point?
It will. We're going to change it for the coming next year because we actually don't look to changing the menu but once a year. And that's the one reason we do that is because we have a great sales team. And what happens is sometimes they're selling and they're booking events months in advance.
Right.
So people are still, who booked for events in November, they're still expecting to come in and be able to have a crab cake with citrus coleslaw.
Right. As I said, I'm just curious. The menu, I think you really... put together a fabulous menu. I mean, I think it's got everything, for whatever you like, and hopefully nothing to complain about, except the water, by the way.
Except the water.
the tap water.
Oh, the tap water.
that was my complaint.
Okay. Well, we'll try to make that up to you.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Get back to work, Dan.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you.
I'm going to continue talking about the cruise itself. So have a good
cruise.
I was going to say flight, but float.
But float. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. It was really a great cruise. I'll get into that in a minute. I have no. It's not a sponsor that I have. On the ship, you get to hear there's a band, and here is a woman who sang with them for the evening. I don't know how often that the band changes. You know, I would imagine if they have special cruises, you know, theme cruises. But this is the person who was singing. I keep singing last night. I guess I wish it was repeated. Okay, but here goes. All right, I'm out of Little Rockabilly.
Gonna hit. I said, baby, looks like it's gonna hit. You got a separate side, you got a dream behind a driving wheel. You got a jump driving.
Anyway, at the back of the front of the goddamn ship, It's an open area. You can go outside and you can, you don't have to sit in the air conditioning all the time. You don't have to, you know, you can go out and suffer the heat if you so please. But, it's a really nice, it's a nice cruise, and it goes from, they leave at 7:30 and get back at 10:30. And I guess you get to see, like see the sunset if the weather, you know, allows you to. What I found, okay, here's the thing. I was commenting probably, I don't know how, you know, how people are with water, but living in New York City, I don't get well water. I'm getting water, I guess, from the reservoir. And it's compared to, I can drink tap water in my house. It doesn't have any funny taste or anything. It's pretty decent. So I'm not sure, and I'm in Queens, and it may make a difference, you know, in what borough that you are. Borough meaning, you know, New York, Manhattan, Queens, versus borough, you know, which is a donkey. In other words, right. It depends on which AF you are, okay, you're in. And that's why I didn't care for the tap water. But sometimes I wonder, like, is, you know, do they purposely give it to you so you, this way you got to buy something else? I'm not sure. Cost-wise, I think it was like $108 for this. But that doesn't include... tax includes fees, tax, tip, I don't know what else, some other fees. And I think it's, I spoke with somebody and I said, well, you know, basically what does it wind up coming to? You're already paying the tip. You're already paying the 18% whether you like it or not. So you don't have to leave a tip. I think it was like this woman said it was $164 that it comes to, and which is more than a Broadway show, I guess, a lot more. Here's also the thing with added costs is that if you want a guaranteed seat at a window, it's an extra $50 per your party to sit at a window. Now, I guess, you know, you can. I mean, if you wanted to save the money, it really doesn't matter where you sit. If something comes up that you really, you know, want to see and you want to take a photo of, then just, you know, move your ass and go outside and snap the picture. The only thing, liquid, other than the tap water, you can get coffee, iced tea, regular tea. I think I got away with a glass of milk, thank goodness. But if you like they had the iced tea they had, it was like already prepared, powdered, whatever, sweetened, and it sucked. So I asked them if I can have regular tea and then, you know, and then put a shitload of ice in it. What the hell? And that's what I wound up doing in terms of having tea the evening. Now, the other thing I was very surprised about, I don't think it was for us. It happened that the city was doing fireworks on the water. I would say it lasted at least like 15 minutes of fireworks, of almost typical fireworks that you would see on 4th of July, but just in one small area. And it was interesting how, well, not interesting. I'm sure they purposely timed it so that on one side of the boat you could see the fireworks as the other side of the boat, you were pretty much close up to the Statue of Liberty. So that was really cool. I liked it. I would recommend, you know, doing this, especially if you're coming into New York for the first time or you want to give a gift to somebody, although don't give it as a gift to an elderly couple that have been married for a long time and they're, like, kind of tired of each other. I kept noticing this couple behind me. They didn't talk to each other the entire time. They, they might have said a few words, but that, you know, that was basically it. And I got the feeling that it was somebody gave them the gift to go onto the boat instead. So that's the bateau, and there's also the Spirit of New York Cruises has other cruises. This is like the top of the line. So I think it's time for me to take a break. I'm going to take a commercial break since I which one.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
I got them in my freezer right now. I'm going to wind up having one right after the show if I don't take a break in the middle of this and just run and get one myself. So what I wanted to get to at this point, I'm so proud of the New York Sharks. I'm amazed. I really am. I mean, tomorrow begins this World Cup flag football tournament in Quebec, as they say. Actually, it's a province of Quebec, near Montreal, and they'll begin. Yeah, this, tomorrow morning is the first game, and the thing about this, now, the United States is being represented for the first time. Now, there's only two teams from the United States, I believe. I don't think, because they're saying senior, and I'm not sure whether, I guess it must be the senior meaning, I guess. Maybe if there's flag teams that like, if you're under 18 years old that you play. But anyway, to get back to this. So the men's team is coming from the New England area. So it's not one specific team, but they've gathered a team from the New England area, and I think mostly around Boston, as I understand. However, I mean, with over 100 women's tackle football teams, and I don't even know how many women's flag teams, football teams, that there are in the entire country, they chose the New York Sharks to come up there and compete. Yeah, I mean, like, they chose them. It's like they didn't even have to count the amount of jelly beans in a jar. They didn't have to even, I don't think they even applied. They were just like, somebody got a hold of, called Andrew Douglas up and said, how would you like to, you know. Now, what's interesting, or even more interesting about this, is that this is the first season that the New York Sharks did not go into the playoffs. And if they had gone into the playoffs, they probably wouldn't have been able to do this, because we have, you know, the players, the tackle football players, are playing this. I can't imagine. For me, the thing I'm really going to wonder about is how many fouls are called on them because they're so used to a contact sport now. And it's not as if, so I mean, some of the players, or a lot of the players have played flag. So, I mean, they know pretty much the rules and stuff like that. And we have one player, she's Dana Sparling, who's 44 years old. We have one player, we got Jen Blum is going up there, and she's the one that's been on American Gladiator. And one of the coaches, Lynn Lewis, now this is an interesting, her history, or should I say her story. She started playing flag football, then she coached a flag football team. She bought a flag football team. She played tackle for the New York Sharks. She's coached the New York Sharks. And now, as she's going to be coaching this tournament, she happens to be, she's cancer-stricken. And she's gone through a number of operations, but she is still, I guess, in enough shape to be doing this. I saw her the other day at the end of the season party, and I guess where she's in remission because she seemed pretty healthy. And of course, I wish the team a lot of luck. I wish I'd be happy if they win one game, to be quite honest. Andrea has to look at this from the perspective of what she's achieved for the team, what she's done to empower the women on her team, that not only are they such a winning team, but that they're so well known out there in women's football that they just get chosen to play. It was like, and I don't think anybody, like, screamed, why them? No. So, I don't know how I'm going to get the results, but hopefully I will get results as it goes on. Okay, now, I got emails, of course. I love when I get emails. And I'm going to do the emails before we have our guests come on. But first, I need to take a break with my lips moving. So,
thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue, based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
I have to try this. The next time I use JetBlue, I'm going to ask them. I'll be curious to see if they know that they have this commercial. Okay, right now I have time to start reading some of the emails. Now these are things emailed to me, and I'm just reading you what I get. But okay, this says it was titled Best Buy My Foot. Saying Best Buy has some bad policies. Normally, I would not share this with others. However, since this could happen to you or your friends, I decided to share it. If you purchase something from Walmart, Sam's Club, JCPenney, Sears, etc., and you return the item with the receipt, they will give you your money back if you pay cash or credit. Your account is paid by plastic. Well, I purchased a GPS for my car, a TomTom XLS from Best Buy. They have a policy that it must be returned within 14 days for a refund. So after 4 days, I returned it in the original box with all the items in the box, with paperwork and cords all wrapped in the plastic, just as I received it, including the receipt. I explained to the lady at the return desk I did not like the way it could not find store names. The lady at the refund desk said, "There is a 15% restock fee for items returned." I said, "No one told me that." I said, "How much would that be?" She said, "It goes by the price of the item. It will be $45 for you." I said, "All you're going to do is walk over and place it back on the shelf, then charge me $45 of my money for restocking?" She said, "That's the store policy." I said, "If more people were aware of it, they would not buy anything here. If I bought a $2,000 computer or TV and returned it, I would be charged $300 restock fee?" She said, "Yes, 15%. I said, "Okay, just give me my money minus the restock fee." She said, "Since the item is over $200, she can't give me the money back. Corporate has to, and they will mail you a check in 7 to 10 days. I said, "What? It's my money. I paid in cash. I want to buy a different brand. Now I have to wait 7 to 10 days. She said, "Well, our policy is on the back of your receipt." I said, "Do you read the front or the back of your receipt?" She said, "Well, the front." I said, "So do I." I said, "So do I. I want to talk to the manager." So the manager comes over. I explained everything to him, and he said, "Well, sir, they should have told you about the policy when you got the item." I said, "No one has ever told me about the check refund or restock fee whenever I bought items from computers to TVs from Best Buy. The only thing they ever discussed was the worthless extended warranty program." He said, "Well, I can give you corporate phone number." I called corporate. The guy said, "Well, I'm not supposed to do this, but I can give you a $45 gift card. And you can use it at Best Buy." I told him if I bought something and returned it, you would charge me a restock fee on the item and then send me a check for the remaining $3. "You can keep your gift card. I'm never shopping at Best Buy ever again. And if I would, I would have been smart. I would have charged the whole thing on my credit card. Then I would have canceled the transaction. I would have gotten all my money back, including your stupid fees." He didn't say a word. I informed him that I was going to email my friends and give them a heads up on the store's policy, and they don't tell you about all the little caveats. Anyway, that's okay. I don't buy from them either. But, all right, I'll get to some of the emails, but I guess I have... Well, I did. I looked up, I saw the next caller on the phone, and then it went off. I hope people understand. See, now I'm being called. Now I'm being called on the phone. This is really cool. I'm being called on the phone, right? Let's see how I'm going to do this, because, I hope she calls. I really can't. This is a hoot. I'm being called on the phone to tell me that she's on the phone. So, let's see what happens. Hang on a second. Okay, forget about it. Am I still on? I hope I'm still on. Okay. She'll have to figure it out. Why is it I keep telling these people, don't call me on my own phone. You have to call on the internet phone. I hope you're listening. I hope you're hearing that, yes, I see you. I see you. I see your phone number coming up. I'm clicking you on. I'm clicking you on. Come on. I'm clicking.
Hello?
Clicked you on. See, here's what happens. What happens is that you can hear me, and until I click on the microphone, I try to explain to the people, you know, that I'm giving information to. Because then people call up, they go, hello, 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 can you hear me? And the problem is, no, I can't hear you, but I see your phone number. I see that you called in. So now here you are. Now you're on the air. So let me tell everybody who you are. Yeah, you tell everybody who you are.
Hi, Merle. How are you?
I'm fine.
That was great fun. I'm Mary Lou Kenny, and I am the Partnership Manager at the Department of Commerce for the Digital Television Converter Box Coupon Program that we're going to talk about tonight. And thank you so much for having me.
Sure. Now, are you able to, I'm not sure, like, technologically speaking or whatever. I mean, can you tell us, like, what this is all about or why this is happening?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Okay,
on February 17th, 2009, the U.S. will move from analog distribution of television, which is what we've been doing for a long time, to digital. And the reason we're doing that is twofold. One, digital television gives us a better signal, it's more efficient, and the consumer will get a better television quality. The second reason is the spectrum that we are going to be giving up will be used for two things. One is public safety, which the consumer will also benefit from because it will allow police and firemen and those kinds of safety people to be able to communicate with each other. And it will also allow the spectrum to be used for new wireless services. So the consumer benefits in two ways. They get better quality television programming, and they also get improved public safety. So when we do this, when we make this transition, consumers who use what we call analog televisions, so those are televisions that have rabbit ears or a rooftop antenna, those TVs will no longer work because they're unable to receive a digital signal. So before midnight on February 17th, 2009, consumers who use those televisions have to make a choice of how they want to move into the digital world. And they actually have three choices. They can choose to continue to use the television sets that they have and put a converter box on them, and we'll talk about that in a minute. They can buy a new television set that has an integrated digital tuner in it, or they can choose to subscribe to some pay service. But if you have an older analog TV, you have to make one of those three choices between now and February 17th, 2009. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Now, so in other words, just so people understand that this has nothing to, if you have a satellite TV or if you have cable TV, it doesn't apply to you.
That's correct. This program is only for people who receive their television over the air, which means with the rabbit ears or the rooftop antenna. And if you do have that and you want to continue to use it, the government has a program that provides financial assistance. And what the government is doing, since they're mandating the change, is making two $40 coupons available to each household that will help defray the cost of the converter boxes. The converter boxes are on the market now for between $49.95 and $70. So if you get a $40 coupon, that pays for a lot of the box.
Yeah, when you say between the price of, I mean, is there any particular reason why, or is it just whoever feels like selling it is coming out with the price? Is there a particular, you know, in terms of quality or anything?
You know, some of them have different features, but Consumer Report just did an analysis of the boxes, and all of the results are on their website. And they basically said that they all have the good picture quality and good sound quality. And the difference really comes in things like the remote control. If you, for example, are visually impaired and you need closed captioning, some of them allow you to change the font and the colors of the screens and those kinds of things. But according to Consumers Report, the $49.95 ones work as well as the higher-end ones.
Okay. So, but you're talking about the price excluding the tax, I would imagine.
That's correct. The tax is in addition. Now, each state has a different law. Some states tax the whole cost of the transaction, and some of them only tax minus the $40. So, and I have to be honest, I don't know what New York does.
And now, before I go into a little more on that, how would you find out, I mean, other than when you buy it, how would you find out, you know, whether what the tax situation? Is there a website or something that's allowing people to get this information?
You know, we don't have one, but the state of New York very well may have that information, and certainly the taxing authority for the state would be able to give that information to the consumer.
Okay. Now, this is such an odd thing. Now, will people automatically be getting these coupons?
No. They have to call and you have to request them, and you can do that several ways. And can I go ahead and give the information
go
now?
Ahead,
you can,
sure.
You can call, and the telephone number is 888-388-2009. You can do it online at www.dtv2009.gov. You can mail it in, and that address is on the website, or I'm happy to give it to you, and you can fax it in. So there are four ways that people can get these applications, and that is by phone, online, fax, or through the mail. And once you send the application to us, then the coupons will be sent to you in the mail. And I want to say on the applications, we are very sensitive to people's rights of privacy. So the only thing we're asking you is your name, your address, whether you want one or two coupons, and if you receive your television over the air or if you have a pay service, and that's all. That's all the information we're requesting. Once the coupon, the application is mailed to us, then the coupon should be mailed back to you in between 9 and 12 days. And when you get it, the envelope will have the coupons, one or two, however many you requested. It will have a list of the converter boxes that you can use it to purchase, and it will also have a list of retailers, local retailers, in the area that you live in by zip code. In addition, it will have a list of online retailers and retailers selling it by the telephone. So we are trying to make this very easy by providing all the information in one envelope. But Merle, the really important thing your listeners need to know is that those coupons expire 90 days after we put them in the mail. So when you order them, don't put them in a drawer and forget about them, because they'll expire and we will not reissue them. So once you get them, go ahead and use them.
Okay. So in other words, and let's just say, February
17th? 2009.
Okay. So let's say I got them. I mean, people don't have to get them now. They can, you know.
They can wait if they want to, but there's no reason to wait, because over 90% of the full power stations in this country are already broadcasting in digital. So if you go ahead and get it now and put it on, you will enjoy the benefits of digital. You'll get a better picture quality. In most cases, you get better picture quality, better sound quality, and additional channels.
And what is there a particular company that's producing the boxes?
Oh, no, lots of companies are the ones you would know were producing the boxes, and we have a whole list of them on our website, and then, of course, you get them in the mail when you get your coupons, which one of your local retailers. I mean, you know, it's the big box stores like Walmart and Circuit City and Radio Shack and Best Buy and those guys, and then there are lots of regional.
I had an email from somebody regarding Best Buy, and I just finished reading it.
Actually, in New York, we have over 1,600 retailers. So, and plus, you know, we have the online and the telephone, so people should be able to find them.
I guess I would imagine you got good old PC Richards, right?
Now, that I couldn't tell you. I don't have a list of New York in front of me.
Oh, okay.
But it's on the website.
Well, that's great. So, for instance, in my house, it means I have a box that I have to deal with for DirecTV, mm-hmm. and now I'm going to get another box. This is my particular situation. Because I have DirecTV, which is satellite,
mm-hmm.
if the weather sucks,
yep.
all of a sudden it goes, there's a, you know, goes out, and you see the little notice, you know, looking for, you know, satellite, whatever. And I'm going, oh, okay. And then what happens is that the only thing I could do is I switch over to my regular antenna.
Mm-hmm.
And I use rabbit ears, you know.
Right.
And but, of course, it boils down to that and I don't get a lot of channels. You know, I get my basic stations. But at least I can do that. So now I would need this just because DirecTV has this problem of with, you know, regarding the satellite going out if, you know, if the weather's not good.
Right. So right. You're absolutely right. If you have satellite or cable, this box is not for you. However, there have certainly been situations that we've heard of where people who have those services have a situation exactly like you described. They want to have a backup. So they go ahead and they get these boxes as a backup, and that's certainly a choice consumers can make. And there are two kind of boxes out there. One of them is for people who only like watch full power stations, and then there's another one that has an analog pass-through that will pass through both the analog and the digital signals. And in rural areas or things like that, people may want to consider the analog pass-through.
Oh, okay. Well, what I'm going to wind up doing, I'm going to try to get it, like, I'm not going to wait till February. I'm going to get it so I can discuss it on the radio as well to say, you know, this is what it looks like, and this is it. And also, because I want to compare. Now, it's interesting, like, for instance, with DirecTV, when I get, like, a CBS,
mm-hmm.
you know, and now, when I'm getting it on DirecTV, the volume is a certain volume, no matter, you know. But all of a sudden, if I have to get it on the antenna, the volume goes up. I get a better sound quality.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see the comparison of how the picture comes across on this with this box versus either the antenna or DirecTV. And what do you,
It will be. In most cases, now, you know, again, everything is in most cases because it depends on how far you are from the transmitter, which way it broadcasted, and that kind of thing. But most cases, people report a much clearer signal, better volume, and more channels.
Okay. Well,
so I'd be really interested to see hear your experience when you do this because I think it's a great idea to go ahead and do it now so you can tell your listeners how it works and if it's easy to hook up or whatever.
And I'll ask my neighbor, I'll look at my neighbors to see what it looks like on cable, the difference. CBS.
Oh, that's a good
cable.
Idea.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
I'm going to try to get this information, all the information, if I can. I'll see if I can post this in the description of my show. You have my email address, I would imagine, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So perhaps if you send me the information, you know, I'll put this in the description of the show so when people are looking at it, you know, they could see directly.
Great. And, you know, you could even link to the website.
Yes, that's...
And then they could go right from your site to ours to apply for the coupon.
Okay.
That'd be a great idea.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate your calling in. I'm sure you have a lot of people that probably have gotten the TVs already. People tend to spend so much on their TVs they can't pay their mortgage or can't buy gas. Or milk.
Yeah. Well, over 20 million people have now requested these coupons, so we are off and running here.
That's great. Well, I'm glad that there's at least people will be able to get a discount because, I mean, you're looking at people, you know, that people who really can't afford to have anything but, like, rabbit ears kind of TV.
Right.
And this, you know, this won't be a hardship.
That's great. And that's really, you know, it's all about consumer choice. Consumers that want to continue to use those TVs, we want to help them do that in the most cost-effective way we can do it. So
okay.
We really appreciate you having us on tonight and allowing us to talk to your viewers, your listeners about these issues.
Great. And I'll talk to you when I, you know, with the follow-up.
Please do. I'll look forward to it.
Okay.
Thanks a lot,
Mom. Have a great evening.
And bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yes, I will follow up on this. I want to take a...
Are you ready for some football?
Oh, no, I'm not ready for football. I talked about football already. I want to play...
Are you ready for some football?
No, stop it. Mallory, You can't play with it. I know it's a mouse, but you can't play. Leave it alone. Leave it on.
Are you ready for some football?
Okay, Mallory, please go and sit on your little cushy seat. Before I get into the rest. Oh, I only have like about 15 minutes left. Oh, I have to read some of this. Okay. I didn't really get to read this, but I got this one. It says, "A Woman's Week at the Gym." If you read this without laughing out loud, there is something wrong with you. Well, we'll see what happens. Okay. This is dedicated to everyone who has attempted to get into a regular workout routine. Dear Diary, for my birthday this year, my daughter, the dear, purchased a week of personal training at the local health club for me. Although I am still in great shape, since being a high school football cheerleader 43 years ago, I decided it would be a good idea to go ahead and give it a try. I called the club and made my reservations with a personal trainer named Belinda, who identified herself as a 26-year-old aerobics instructor and model for athletic clothing and swimwear. My daughter seemed pleased with my enthusiasm to get started. The club encouraged me to keep a diary to chart my progress. Monday, starting my day at 6 a.m. Tough to get out of bed, but found it was well worth it when I arrived at the health club to find Belinda waiting for me. She is something of a Greek goddess with blonde hair, dancing eyes, and a dazzling wild smile. Woohoo! Belinda gave me a tour and showed me the machines. I enjoyed watching the skillful ways in which she conducted her aerobics class after my workout day. Very inspiring. Belinda was encouraging as I did my sit-ups, although my gut was already aching from holding it in the whole time she was around. It's going to be a fantastic week. It's going to be a fantastic week. Okay. Tuesday, I drank a whole pot of coffee, but I finally made it out the door. Belinda made me lie on my back and push a heavy iron bar into the air. Then she put weights on it. My legs were a little wobbly on the treadmill, but I made the full mile. Belinda's rewarding smile made it all worthwhile. I feel great. It's a whole new life for me. Wednesday, the only way I can brush my teeth is by laying the toothbrush on the counter and moving my mouth back and forth over it. I believe I have a hernia in both pectorals. Driving was okay, as long as I didn't try to steer or stop. I parked on top of a GEO in the club parking lot. Belinda was impatient with me, insisting that my screen bothered other club members. Her voice is a little too perky for that early in the morning, and when she scolds, she gets this nasally whine that is very annoying. My chest hurt when I got on the treadmill, so Belinda put me on the Stairmaster. Why the hell would anyone invent a machine to simulate an activity rendering obsolete by elevators? Okay. Why the hell would anyone invent a machine to simulate an activity rendered obsolete by elevators? Got that. Okay. Belinda told me it would help me to get in shape and enjoy life. She said some other shit, too. Thursday. Belinda was waiting for me with her vampire-like teeth exposed as her thin, cruel lips were pulled back in a full snarl. I couldn't help being a half an hour late. It took me that long to tie my shoes. Belinda took me to work out with dumbbells. When she was not looking, I ran and hid in the restroom. She sent another skinny bitch to find me. Then, as punishment, she put me on the rowing machine, which I sank. Friday. I hate that bitch, Belinda, more than any human being has ever hated any other human being in the history of the world. Stupid, skinny, anemic, anorexic little cheerleader. If there was a part of my body I could move without unbearable pain, I would beat her with it. Belinda wanted me to work on my triceps. I don't have any triceps. And if you don't want dents in the floor, don't hand me the damn barbells or anything that weighs more than a sandwich. The treadmill flung me off, and I landed on a health and nutrition teacher. Why couldn't it have been someone softer, like the drama coach or the choir director? Saturday, Belinda left a message on my answering machine in her grating, shrilly voice, wondering why I did not show up today. Just hearing her voice made me want to smash the machine with my planter. However, I lacked the strength to even use the TV remote and ended up catching 11 straight hours of the Weather Channel. Sunday, I'm having the church van pick me up for services today so I can go and thank God that this week is over. I will also pray that the next year my daughter, the little shit, will choose a gift for me that is fun, like a root canal or a hysterectomy. I still say if God had wanted me to bend over, he would have sprinkled the floor with diamonds. That's a good one. I didn't read. This is the first time that I even looked at this. I just had a feeling it was going to be funny because of a friend of mine who sends me this stuff. Okay. Now, let's see. One more that I have here. What is this one here? Where does this begin? I just got a new printer. So, which is the okay. I'll have to figure this out some other time. Right now, I'm up for some music. I need, this is perfect. It's a good one, right? Perfect for this.
There was a child named Bernadette. I heard the story long ago. She saw the Queen of Heaven once and kept the vision in her soul. Thank you.
snuck in again. Meow. Meow. Mallory, wait, the show will be over soon. I've got 4 minutes left. I'm not sure, but I might, next week I might have, I think, the creator of Serp Dreams on the show. I want to get to some Broadway shows that I've seen, which are Serp Dreams, which was, wasn't Cirque du Soleil, but I mean, it was pretty good, and a show that's called Title of Show, and that's what looked like that I'm going to have next week, who else do I have? I have some, you know, the problem is I don't get I just got an email. Hilton Garden Inn, oh yes. Hilton Garden Inn is delighted to have you as our guest on Tuesday the 29th at the Culinary Loft. Teaming up with Top Chef star Chris Jacobson, I guess that way they call him CJ, HGI will create and introduce to you 3 exciting and energizing recipes to be unveiled in August as part of the Big Day Breakfast Menu. And I'm going to go there, and that should be quite interesting. I'm I got another press trip ahead of me next month. I'm going to Colorado to the area of Palisade. It's the town of Palisade, which I think is outside of Grand Junction, and Grand Junction is about 100 miles, I understand, west or southwest of Denver. Of course, what do I know? I'm in New York City. But I'm going for a peach festival. Now, who would have thunk peaches in Colorado? I mean, you know, peaches in Georgia, I can understand. But I might arrive a little bit earlier and cheek and have a different fruit. Maybe I'll tell them, maybe I won't, but I could just see them, you know, saying, oh, wait a minute, there's strawberry on your breath, and they'll do it. And, of course, I will do the show from Colorado at the time. It's time for me to leave you now, and where is she? She'll come. I'm sure she'll be in here. Say hello to everyone. Say goodbye to everyone. I know you're the host of the show. I understand. Mallory, the show is over. The show is over now. Come on, let's go inside. Let's go back inside. Yes, I said goodbye to everybody. You said goodbye to everybody. It's time to leave. It's meow. Okay, I have to have a brownie, so we're going.